Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party. I'm Philip Gilfus, your host of the week, joined as always by my fellow co-host of all things Star Trek, Daniel Prue and Darren Moser. Gentlemen, how's your in-between holiday Star Trek time going?
After that rewatch of Unification 1 and 2, I kind of want to dive back more into some 90s Trek and just kind of let it wash over me in the nostalgia. And actually, I found a website. I posted it in the group chat, but it was a Star Trek episode picker, and it's very handy. There's basically a button next to each season or each series, and you click it, and it just gives you an episode. And when it's hard to decide what to pick, it helps you. And I like how if you do the movie picker, and it when it eventually gets to Star Trek V, it says, might want to pick again.
Oh.
So I'm not saying it's not biased, but it is helpful.
And then I forget if it was from an official source or not, but anyway, I did see some news. I think it was maybe in our group chat as well about Star Trek Prodigy, some more characters being developed there. So nice to know that's moving forward. So we will have even, I don't know when it's actually supposed to start, but I'll just go ahead and say 2021, even though I don't know that for a fact. So, but we
well, I think it's a safe bet. It's not in 2020. So,
yeah, I read that article too. The little bios on they're purposely not telling us anything about the main teen crew, but these are all the other characters that are going to interact with them. So, lots of aliens so far.
It's basically Red Squad, but with Janeway as the captain. Is that what's going on?
From what I read, it was like a group of teens on a stolen ship seek out adventure. But they're specifically not Starfleet.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, okay. Really interesting. I guess it'll be interesting. Do we know when it takes, like time-wise, when it takes place?
Well,
I mean, Janeway's alive, so that's all we got to go.
Other than Discovery, everything...
She's a hologram! Like, it's been a thousand years.
Is it contemporaneous with Picard, or is...
I don't know this. This is just Philip wild speculation. I presume it's between Nemesis and Picard.
So that's just like that's just kind of where we're at now, except for Picard. Like that's where we're because that's where Lower Decks takes place. That's fine.
Although if you put it in the same time as Picard, that would be cool in the fact that you could use the same uniforms and interweave it with the story.
Yeah.
Rather than, I don't think it's definitely past Picard. I don't see why they would do that.
Right.
But, but we don't know.
Basically. They could easily set up characters in it that we would see in Picard.
They could have another reference of Absolute Candor. I mean, weave it all together.
Well, the Star Trek we are going to be giving Absolute Candor to today is, of course, Star Trek Discovery, Episode 8, The Sanctuary. Which, before we go any further, just as a heads up, the next episode is a two-parter, at least according to Wikipedia. Terra Firma. It says episodes 9 and 10. So, just throwing that out there.
So it's less likely that they're going to drop the second part?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, until it shows up, you never know. Now, this is very different than DS9 Sanctuary with the wormhole people.
Sanctuary districts?
No. This is the wormhole people that... find Bajor and think it's their lost land, and
Wait a minute. Is this a repeat title?
No, that was called Sanctuary. This is called The Sanctuary.
Ah, I was going to get really upset actually at Discovery. I was going to throw some shade, but okay, that's fair. That's totally fair.
I mean, to their credit, since they don't actually ever put it on screen, I guess they could call it whatever they want.
Before I get into my thoughts, because I have them, of course, what did you all think of this episode in general, Darren?
All you Darrens, tell us what you thought.
Yes. I mean, I liked learning more about Book. I think that was nice to kind of get that a little more fleshed out. But I think, I don't know. I need a map. I need a technical blueprint. I'm like, where is this in relation to the rest of the Federation? Because I thought, if this was his home world, I thought we jumped quadrants or something. They made it sound like when they jumped to Earth, they're ridiculously far away. And so now it's easy for Booker to just pop back home. And like now the Orions are actually like, if we piss them off over here, they're going to be pissed off over here. Like, what's going on? If only we had a 29th century officer stationed on the bridge.
Stellar cartography right there.
In reference to that, I actually saw, and I want to say it was Facebook or something like that, there's an Art of Discovery book coming out, and I saw that they like were like, oh, this is where Lorca's ready room is, and it shows that it's right behind.
Oh, yeah. I did see some pictures of that.
And they have, like, it's a small diagram, and they have a couple of locations. It's not like what we're used to.
Right.
With, like, a great, awesome design of, like, a cutaway.
I did see that. It's like a slight slice of the saucer, and you kind of see some of the rooms.
You get, like, three or four things. So we do get to see some stuff, I guess. I'm still curious what the Discovery engine room looks like, but I guess we're going to have to wait for the movie for that.
It'll be interesting to see, though, just where, you know, because we don't have a ton of episodes left in this season, so there wasn't a lot of progress on the burn in this one. You know, Michael was doing something for other reasons.
What about you, Daniel? What'd you think of The Sanctuary?
Yeah, I thought it was really boring. I did. It felt like treading water the whole time. I like Book, I guess, well enough, but I don't know. Like, it's weird. This is what Discovery does sometimes, where you spend a whole episode kind of dealing with Book and his adoptive brother or foster brother or whatever they are. And
Forehead brother.
And I still don't feel like I know anything about him or their relationship or what this planet is or, like you said, where it is or why it matters. I don't know. They spend all this time doing this stuff, and I don't know what's going on still. I don't know. I was just like, okay.
It almost felt like there's lots of little storylines. Like, there was a lot of storylines going on this week. There was, like, Michael and Book, and there's Tilly and Saru, and there's Jojo, and there's, you know,
Stamets and Adira.
Tilly and Stamets and Adira. And it's just like, you know, okay, guys, everyone gets a piece of the pie this week. Like, no one actual, you know, we have Detmer.
Yeah,
and Tilly's and husband.
Detmer and Orion.
His name had like three letters. You got to remember. It's like Rara or something.
That's not it.
Rin.
But and we'll get into it. I just want to say I watched this episode right after watching the most recent Mandalorian, and so when I watched this episode, like, I was in the right frame of mind. And I know me saying this sounds like an insult, and maybe it is, but I don't mean it that way. Like, this is a very Star Warsy episode to me, but not in a bad way, because, like, from a Mandalorian perspective, because I watched the Mandalorian episode, and then I watched this episode, which is just about, you know, the heroes against the bad guy who is trying to mess up the town, you know, just like the Mandalorian, right, basically. And so I was like, you know what? I'm fine, because I was, you know, getting ready for this episode. And I'm sure I was just looking at a few select things on the internet, but, like, a lot of people are like, oh, I hate this episode. I'm like, I liked it. You know, it's not the best thing in the world, but I liked it. So, but we'll go into the we're going to, as I always like to do, I'm going to ignore the main story and just talk about the little A, B, C, D, E, F, G storylines before getting to the A storyline. So,
well, because this time the main story didn't actually get a ton of the plot. It felt like there was a lot of B, C, D stories.
Yeah. So I'm going to pick at random. Let's go with Let's go with Saru and his new acting number one. Daniel, what's your choice for what Saru should say?
Oh, that okay, that was funny.
It was cute. Yeah, I didn't mind that. They haven't come across it yet. And obviously,
no, they haven't found it.
I hope that's the case. I hope it does come naturally and it works. Here's the thing. It's like a nickname. You can't give it to yourself and you can't force it. It just has to come and fit.
So maybe in a moment of crisis, he's going to blurt something out and it's going to
play
stick.
That funky music.
I kind of like it, though. I kind of like it's a thing where he's like, okay, I need to like settle on this. I kind of like that. That's a cute little star, like in Star Trek joke.
That's like a new captain's like, of course he's going to do research. Okay, according to my research, all captains have a thing they say.
Do I do the hand thing or do I not do the hand thing? Or I don't know.
I would laugh if he, I mean, I think it'd be way too many minutes added to this side story, but if he was like, I did research and then I updated it with 29th century data, I feel like engage has been used way too much by previous captains. So, but yeah, it was like hit it, execute, manifest. It's just, I don't know.
It almost feels like a Lower Decks plot line.
Like, it does.
We have to
it
come does. Up with our catchphrase.
It was.
Actually, there is. It was a Lower Decks plot line. Yeah. Yeah. That she was like, warp me. That was her.
Yeah, that's right.
That was her whole thing.
Yep.
She actually had half an episode about coming up with her thing. And I don't know. Warp me is still not. I mean, maybe if they keep saying it enough, it'll catch. But it's still,
I mean, you would
there.
Think, honestly. And this isn't a huge deal, and I'm not going to like just knock the episode for it. But you would think like there would be not like there's got to be some words that you like to just like say I mean it, like that's an order, but you wouldn't say that. But you know what I mean? Like there's got to be something to be like you don't want to leave something up to interpretation in an emergency situation is all I'm saying. So
honestly, execute I didn't feel too bad cuz it's like maybe it's a Kelpian thing. Or maybe you should just translate something into Kelpian. And then
I was
going to
say, it's just a Kelpian word, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
First true, and you just know what that means.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, it's like Klingon. It's like Kapla. It's like, what does that mean? Just go with it.
Yeah. I don't know whether I appreciate or disdain that there's a little bit of shade from the bridge crew. Like, Captain, should we execute? All right.
Okay.
All right, smartass.
It's okay. Right. They're, you know what? You're scrubbing the ports.
Deuterium tanks for you.
Yeah. But
how do you wash the holograms? I don't know how that works.
Wash the holograms. Put some headlight fluid in the hologram emitters.
Whatever. She's the first officer. We're over it. We're accepting it. Moving on.
Yeah.
What did you think of? Like, I thought this was a good first officer moment. Now, whether the character would actually say it or not, where she kind of I've already forgotten the Andorian's name. You know, it's like try that again. This time with who are you seeing the captain with? You know.
Yeah.
Right.
Respect.
That's true.
Yeah. It was okay. It just felt a little forced. It's like, of course, the first thing, and he's not even like this guy seems pretty chill. Anyways, I don't know why.
No antenna.
Yeah, no antenna, I guess.
And they couldn't, like, Dr. Culpa can't grow new ones? Because I feel like that should be a thing we can do in the 31st century.
You would think so.
But
they
maybe it's like, maybe because
matter.
Of the, well, maybe because of the sensory organs, like, it's actually super complex, like, regrow part of your brain, like, it's just, you can't do it. But, well, and then also, as first officer, she, I forget, was she the one who, oh yeah, she was the one who called out, well, if it's not the Discovery shooting at your ship and it's the attack fighter in our cargo bay that happened to fly out and happened to fire upon you, then the Federation's totally not liable. Like, oh, it's not a bad plan, but I don't feel like the Emerald Chain are the kind of people who read on the dotted line.
Yeah, because at the end, they're like, this is now war with the Federation. They didn't say that, but like, this is war with the Federation. They like, they don't really recognize the subtle
There's
difference.
Essentially no difference between just firing on them with the
I was expecting Tilly to be like, but, oh yeah, maybe they missed that part of the plan where it's all on the bad guys.
Well, they also weren't like, they didn't even like follow their own plan. Like Saru should have been on the communication saying, "Oh, there's an unauthorized exit. Watch out!" Like, you know, he should have like played into it.
Hey, someone stole our ship. Shoot them down, Emerald Chain. Help us out. Something, because they're going to shoot at them anyway. So it doesn't help. Doesn't matter.
Pretend to fire some phaser shots at the Booker ship. Oh, well, we tried.
Saru gives the finger guns.
But they're just sitting there watching, so like it's like, okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, go ahead.
Well, and I mean, to kind of progress connectively, like, can we talk about Detmer then? You know,
sure, why not?
Transition to
we
that.
We can talk about her, but we can only start, and then we'll leave the rest for the next episode.
Well, I mean, you know, they started with she made, like, some crazy interface to double redundancy check her inputs or something because she's really not trusting herself, but all she had to do was get into a fighter and actually full manual control. I mean, not since Jean-Luc Picard flew towards that asteroid in Booby Trap have we been so suspenseful on manual control.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, do you prefer her Nintendo glove manual control?
It was like Oculus Rift controls.
They were exactly in fact, I'm almost certain that they were VR
Oculus
controllers,
Rift. Yeah, they were
that were just painted over or whatever. Yeah.
But much better than the Atari joystick that Riker uses in Insurrection.
Much better.
Oh, that was a computer joystick.
Yeah, that was
minimum.
That was a late 90s PC.
Activate.
Joystick.
What did he call it? He had some. It wasn't just manual control. It was something.
By the way, for everybody
manual
who
steering
thinks,
column or something.
Who
it's
like that we're rough on Discovery. That was a terrible, terrible moment as well. So it happens all of them.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I mean, Data didn't learn how to slap a keyboard with command vigor for you to get a joystick just to make it more interesting.
I don't like, though, it seems over time that there's this, and I'm not going to try to knock Star Wars here either, but like there's like a transition, and I think it started with J.J. Trek for sure, where Star Trek space combat has slowly kind of evolved into Star Wars space combat, and I'm like, first, like, there's no reason that this ship, this personal ship that like houses a person and a cat, should. And they were literally just bragging about how much firepower the Emerald Chain ship had, and
that's
then
true.
Book's
the
ship
capital
just
ship
comes out and circles around it like nothing, just circles, like
it's
nothing,
the defiant
like
of its time.
It's the Defiant. I exactly thought of the Defiant. I did. I thought of it. I'm like,
I mean, the Defiant
is so
A.
lame. Like, that's why can they just get away with this? Tractor beam them. Yeah, the Defiant A.
Well, and here's the thing. Okay, yeah, good point. How much of a threat is the Emerald Chain if their boss lady warship can be taken out by your fighter with the Discovery A not even doing anything? Yeah. Like, let alone if both ships is hacked.
Observer, I'm your best scientific ship in the...
I mean, I know we had a political reason.
No.
But, yeah, I mean, it obviously, I think it's helping to progress Detmer a little bit, where she's a little more out of her chain. And, you know, in the dining room scene later on, when she's all excited about
part of
her experience. Yeah. So, I mean, that was good.
I like the arc, you know, in as much as it is, you know, it's a small story, but it's, I just am still curious about the source of it, you know, because that's to me the interesting part. And maybe, I don't know, they don't care, and that's fine, I suppose. But like, was it just being in the battle that one time? Which, you know, we would be PTSD, everyone affected differently by war. But like, she was in the Klingon War like 2 years ago. Well, you know, whatever the real time is. And, you know, 950 plus 2 years ago. But like, you know, is that when she got scarred? Was it the battle of the binary? You know, like, what's her source of trauma? I mean, to me, that's the interesting story. Not just like, you know, she had trauma and I got over it, hand quotes. Cause then I'm not a professional by any means, but almost does that do a disservice to trauma or mental illness? Just like, you just have an adventure and get back on that horse and face your fears and.
I assume it's going to pay off at some point. It just hasn't. Like, and I guess, like, I'm fine with it. It's just, like, the longer you drag it out and make it a point every episode, that it's not subtle. So, like, there's something that's going to happen. And, like, now you're just expecting something huge. Like, it's control or whatever. Like, we're expecting something that level. And if it's not, if it's just she had a rough time with the war or whatever, it's going to feel weird because, like, they addressed that already. Like, the doctor was like, let's talk. You've had some rough times. But they keep kicking the can down the road, and I just don't know. Like, I hope it gets resolved at some point.
I mean, I'm glad it was, covered in her flight, but this is also something that probably in the past would have been covered by a holodeck episode. Like, for her to help deconstruct what her issues were.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be trying to get too much into this, but like, it's just fiction. It's just an enjoyable show. But I'm like, if it's the 21st century, it's 2020. Like, I think we're a little open minded or more broad minded about these things. But like, the message seems to me, if you have trauma,
a counselor, not on our ship.
Yeah, just deal with it yourself, face your fears, and you're going to be cured. I'm like, well, this is usually something that requires someone else and a community and a group of people and a professional. And it's not just not. Suck it up and then you won't be depressed anymore. I mean, that's not really the message I think I would want to give, but
the good news is we're getting an empath, so maybe that's like a counselor, right?
Yeah. We'll talk about it, but I was I'd forgotten he could do that. And so when his brother's head was glowing, I'm like, is this brother a hologram? And I'm like, oh, I'd totally forgotten that was a, but we'll get to it. So next would be, in no particular order, Stamets and Adira.
Hey, Colbert, to a point.
Yeah.
It was real subtle, but I think they're trying to imply that Adira is like the adopted daughter of Stamets and Colbert.
Adopt her, make a cute little, gaby family, anyway.
But yeah,
she's 17. It's too late for adoption, yeah. I think, at that point.
Yeah. The adoptions of the future are a little different.
The character is actually supposed to be younger, which I've argued. Yeah, she's supposed to be like 15 or 16. I would argue she's clearly like 20 years old. And I get we're always supposed to pretend like, but I'm like, she's not that young,
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm using the wrong pronoun, but they are not that young.
Now say it 18 more times and you'll match the number of times they say it in this episode.
But I don't know, what'd you all think of, not a lot to it, but just as they evolve into their trildom, I guess. And I don't know what to read into the fact that they are not seeing their boyfriend anymore. Like, is that just was part of the integration experience? Because I thought they needed to explain that a little bit.
Yeah.
You don't They're like, say. Hey,
this is a thing. But it's now not a thing, but it could be a thing later. And it's like, oh, okay, but, well, maybe it'll come full circle when we learn about the musical tone.
Yeah. Also, there's a Federation starship that has been under distress since the burn, I think?
I don't know. It's stuck in the middle. I mean, it's either does the Discovery traveling through time, thus Michael's caused the burn. I don't know.
Or they get there and they almost get hit by Captain Kelsey Grammer. Oh man, they just missed it.
Well, we went through a spatial anomaly. We almost hit you. And can we render any assistance? Oh.
Not again. The thing was, when I heard the sound, we were going through the hole. At first, I thought it might be whale song. But no, it wasn't that. But I thought it sounded like Black Alert. The Discovery Black Alert. I'm like, oh, God, they're doing the Discovery. Because it was like I can't do it. But you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
God, please don't. Seriously, please don't. Don't make it.
What
discovery.
Do you want it to be? Because
no, I'm going to leave. I'm done. I'm over it. I'm just done. If it's Discovery, I'm over it.
I'm not saying it has to be Discovery. I'm just saying the way this show is written, 9 times out of 10, it's Discovery or Michael. Like,
if they, we're being nerds and that's fine. If the sound, it sounds like Discovery, so it has, I'm saying this. It has to be a 23rd century ship. Like, it can't be like anything past the 24th, because that's not what the sound of.
What if it's the tardigrade from season one?
Why not?
Or that other ship, the Glenn. The Great was the Glenn?
Yeah, but the Glenn never blew up successfully. I'm pretty sure. Jumped.
Yeah, but we don't know. Maybe it split. Who knows?
Maybe it's the Mirror Discovery.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, God. That actually would be worse somehow. Actually, you know what? I take it back. If it's Mirror Discovery and it has Prime Lorca on it,
all is forgiven.
Oh God! If the season finale is Gabriel Lorca, I was trying to think of his real name for a second. Jason Isaacs like walking out, I'd be like, what?
Prime Lorca on Mirror Discovery. Yep. Oh man. And Mirror Michael could be with him.
What happened? I can't remember. What happened to the ship? The Discovery. I don't remember. Didn't you just watch this, Philip?
I don't think they ever mention it.
Not season two or one.
I don't think they ever mention it.
Okay. Yeah, it's been a while.
Because the Emperor's ship exploded.
I'm gonna guess that the Mirror one probably doesn't exist or wasn't as prevalent, because I don't see the Terran Empire putting research into spore drive technology.
But Stamets worked on
it. He died.
Right?
Oh, yeah, that's true. He did.
Yeah. But he never got it right.
Yeah, but he never got it right because he's evil.
Right.
Okay, yeah. Other theories I have are something in her sending the red angel suit back to send the last signal. Pass through the thing at a certain time in the past, and
it's the Defiant, not the one you're thinking of, the other one.
From Inamira Darkly.
Yes.
Slash.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or it's the Cerritos. Here's another thought: is
I would love that.
It could be the Discovery again, traveling through time, or there's some sort of time distortion, basically, where our Discovery in the 30th century sends out a signal and then picks it up later itself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I hope not.
But I'm voting. I want to see Prime Lorca on the Mirror Discovery. will be forgiven.
I mean, yeah, bring back Jason Isaacs. Yes.
That'd be fun. That would be fun.
I mean, I don't think that's what it is going to be.
That's not.
Then you have the, not really, but the potential storyline, could he take over as captain of the Discovery? You know, with Cerruby.
No.
Anyway,
moving on. Yeah. So let's talk for our last sub-story, unless you have another one, is Georgiou. What's going on there?
I mean, something's going on, and she's apparently can't survive in our universe all of a sudden.
Okay.
Now the time's run up.
She's sitting on the bed, and her physical body starts to distort.
Kind of like the guy in the vault. Okay. In the seed vault.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Like the similar distortion.
But he had been knocked into, like, photonic space.
No, I'm not saying it's the same thing, but it kind of was a similar effect.
Yeah, I was just... but like I said, he was, like... There was a reason why he was like that.
Oh, there's a reason, yeah. Daniel. She's like this.
Look, she wasn't in her game... So she started to glitch like Mark Ralph. It's exactly what happened.
I just don't care. Like, I don't care. What's the end game here? I don't know. I don't care.
I mean, my theory is Cronenberg did something to her, and it's basically, I think it's going to reset her to Prime Georgiou.
God.
Which I liked Prime Georgiou, but at this point, it's too far gone. I can't. Don't do that.
But I don't know.
Yeah. Then who would be captain? There you go.
All three of them. You'd have Lorca, you'd have Georgiou, and Saru having a captain off. I don't know.
What, they're like on three chairs that like rotate around each other on a pedestal?
They declare Captain Torchata.
They're like, today you'll be captain of defense, I'll be captain of diplomacy, and you be captain of...
They have to do a training thing, and whoever sends Stamets to his death wins, I guess. I don't know.
I will say that...
choose your pain.
I think it's just because I like Culber. I just like Culber. So even seeing him deal with her, because I hate her...
He's the only one who smacks her down.
Yeah. Like, she gets away with saying all this nonsense, and he's just like, nah. Like, I'll save your life
and
stuff.
And did I read the scene right where But like Michael was like, we'll be here for you through this. And then he's like, her heart rate's elevated. And she's like, it's rage. And then Michael leaves. And I'm like, was that her way of saying, I don't want you here, Michael?
Because her heart was actually going up and she was just being defensive.
I think she was just making an excuse kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, because she has to have the last word in every sentence.
Yeah. And it's annoying. I get that people like her character for a reason, but like just the having to be cute and having to have a dumb joke, like it's a little much.
There is nothing to her character. Her character is entirely flat. So I don't know.
I mean, like the her character. I've never liked her character, but I'm trying to grab something that I do like. Unlike her character of like season two when she wasn't used as much, but like having that sort of Section 31, the Section 31 character of hers makes sense. You know that she just drops in. You know, slices up Klingons and, you know, da da da. But like.
But now in the 31st century, it's like, why?
She doesn't make sense as a Discovery crewman.
Why did she get on the ship? That we still don't know why they put her character on the ship.
Yeah, she makes sense as any kind of like her independent character, but as a crew member, as a functioning member of the Discovery crew,
she should be in prison.
Yeah.
Just saying. So.
Well, and I also liked. The little side note where the little boy Leto liked Linus and like the lizard guy.
And his name is Linus, and you can peel off his skin from his face.
Yeah, that was cute.
That was cute. That's true.
So I think we've done those are all the sub stories before we get to the actual The Sanctuary.
True, true.
So Booker, what's his real name? It doesn't matter. But anyway, Booker.
T.E.
Cleveland Book Booker.
No, his real name.
Oh, I don't know.
Navarre, right? No. That's not. But anyway, so, you know, he beams down to his planet, meets his brother.
Apparently he's been gone 15 years or something.
No biggie. No bigs. And then the... okay.
I don't get it.
Go ahead. Just the story?
I don't understand. This This is a whole... Is this a colony of people? Because we see two. I don't understand this. Like, he's in charge? His brother's in charge of the colony?
And he had to make the choice to work with the Emerald Chain or starve.
But they have crazy advanced technology. I don't get the backstory here at all. I don't understand what was going on.
The two questions I had were the empathic nature of Book and his brother. And I believe in blind casting. That's my belief. So if they're blood brothers, I can buy it. I don't need them to be the same color spectrum.
I think they're a brother in the fact that they're both empaths.
But that's going to be my question. Are they literally brothers? Or are they
figurative
brothers?
No, I don't think they're literally brothers.
Well,
there's
a line where he says, we're not brother brothers, but we're...
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. They're not brothers.
He's like, I wouldn't use the word brother, but he's my brother. Yeah. You know.
Well, that's what they do at the end, yeah. But so then part of my first question is their empathicness, whatever we want to call that. Now, is that like they're human? He's human, right?
I don't know.
That's fine. But is it just him and the brother? Or any of the people that live on the planet?
But we don't know.
No, I'm pretty sure it's just him and the brother because he's like, I can't do it alone. And he's like, no, we have two. Like, and then they enhance the two.
Is this not the same planet that we saw before?
With the transworms?
Yes.
I'm guessing no, because he purposely said, I haven't been back in 15 years, which, regardless of the visit I had last month.
So,
like that.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. So, but when we did go to that planet, he was talking about, this is my family, these are all the people I love, this is my home. Like,
but apparently not...
Misremembering that? Or?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think
it was a sanctuary planet, not the sanctuary planet.
Okay. Look, check the episode creatures... title, Darren. Check the episode title.
Look, these creatures didn't do anything wrong to be here. The system just gave up on them. You know, and it was easier just to wall them away and forget them. These sanctuary district planets.
This is a sanctuary planet for the Fireflies.
Maybe. I don't know.
But
the plague of Fireflies.
I don't know.
They were sea locusts, not fairies, possibly. My second question then was, and I know this
look,
is
they had the model in Avatar and they just plucked out, send the rendering over, and they plopped it in. You know, it's easy.
And I know this is a Trek trope, so I don't blame Discovery for this. But, like, when they shot the beam at the end to amplify the empathicness, like, you notice it was, like, just the city. Like, it wasn't like the whole planet.
At best.
It wasn't the whole planet. I'm like, is this happening anywhere else, or is it just this city that has the sea locusts?
Oh, those people over there are black on one side. We don't talk to them. Because
that goes to your question, Daniel. Is this guy just, like, the mayor, or is he the governor, or is he, like, president of the planet? I don't know.
It's definitely a restricted area because they only have that technology in a specific zone.
Oh, the shield.
But it's unclear how that technology affected or affects these blue creatures. I don't know. I don't know why we were at the planet. I don't know why we cared about this planet. I don't know what the point of the planet was. It was called Quash, Quarsh, Quibity.
Quinoa.
Quinoa.
No. No, it was a Kalki.
It was cool.
There was a K, wasn't it?
I thought it was Q.
Quijan.
Quijan.
Oh, that's right. Quijan. I kept thinking Star Wars Episode One.
Like Qui-Gon. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Quijan. Yeah. Okay. No, it's not Qui-Gon. It's Quijan.
That JG is very.
Well, and it's like. I mean, I assume that the Emerald Chain did something to cause the locust to shift, because they're like, they never did this before, and now because they did it, we're relying on the Emerald Chain to, you know, we sell them transworms. And it's like, they're basically twirling their mustaches at you, like, it's really obvious.
But then,
like,
we asked them nicely to go back, and they did, and that was
well
the end.
And I get the feeling also that maybe the point of this episode, I'm reaching guys, but like, the point is that if the Federation was still kind of intact, that things like this, like a bully organization coming in, wouldn't happen. Because this planet doesn't have a Starfleet. They just have a defensive shield. So if Starfleet was here, then this wouldn't be a problem. Because I kind of got a bit of that vibe, which is also why Booker at the end was like, I see what you guys are doing, how you're helping. You know, maybe he's getting a uniform. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Well, Adira hasn't, I've noticed, so, you know. Maybe she'll be made acting ensign, and then we'll. Oh,
maybe
no.
That's why Stamets put the jacket on her. And he was like, and then he starts to put her arms in it, and he's like zipping it up, and he's like, and then he backs away. And he's like, there, you're good.
He's like, I'm awake here.
At least they would have like an honorary rank, you would think, right?
Yeah.
Of something. At least they've been.
That's true. Earth
training.
Defense Force.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Now I want to see how they're going to get.
No, wait. Just like Adira's like, okay, so Tilly, you're XO, so I got to at least be like a lieutenant commander if we're just rolling the ranks across, right? Because
I believe,
like,
Adira's,
well,
chief
actually,
engineer,
an ensign,
right?
I got,
you know.
Yeah. Oh, she, basically, you're all so. The new goal is, how young can we make our command staff? Just drive that down.
It's going to be worse than Rascals. Let's go.
It's going to be Adira and Tilly and Saru, and that's it.
I can't wait till next week when we see Book in Wesley's Technicolor and uniform. The 31st century equivalent of it. I cannot wait to see it. It's going to be great.
Oh, please make him an acting ensign, at least for an episode, because then we can have the line where Tilly's like, it's okay, I'm an acting XO. And it's like, that makes it any better. Like, it's like, nope.
But I agree with you, Darren. I did, you know, I'm like you, I'm gleaning it, that the power of the Federation is not just to be imperial, it's not just to consume resources, it's not just to be in charge. The reason we have the technology is to help others, you know, that's why we're here. And so I agree. That's the message I got from this. It's an episodic thing, which, look, I'm fine with. That's why I actually do like this episode. I'll make fun of this Admiral every time. Just the whole Starfleet setup makes me laugh inside every time. Cause it's like every episode now for the past three, it's like, you know, the Admiral's like, yeah, I have this problem that we really couldn't care a blank about for, you know, decades and decades, and Michael's like, wait, we could just do this. Yeah, I guess, if you want to do that. I mean, we haven't done anything, and we've been here for like hundreds of years.
I don't have the ships.
But you got an idea? You got Okay, well, if you want to do that.
Well,
I mean,
to his defense, like, even if he had an idea, it's like a month out or something. Like, that's the thing. Like, he hasn't had the ability to respond within a remotely timely
But they have a list, apparently, of like, didn't he say like 50 planets or something or systems?
Before the episode, I was thinking,
oh, yeah, I don't
there's know. No way, like in the beginning of the episode, I was thinking, there's no way he's going to approve this mission. Michael wants to go there because her boyfriend needs her. There's no way. And then he approves the mission. And then after the episode, I'm like, he should not have approved this mission. There's nothing gained. There's nothing.
Well,
there's,
no, and there's stuff lost because they're going to get back and they're like, so guys, apparently you started a war.
Yeah. I like, you know, like Michael and Saru show up and he's like, so I've been doing some historical research.
Yeah.
Apparently Michael Burnham was responsible for the Klingon War.
Yeah.
And now what you're telling me.
No, I'm loving this. I'm loving the scene that we don't get at the end of the episode where the Admiral sits Saru down. And he goes, so how'd the mission go? He's like, you know, I told you to leave in case there was any trouble at all. And
just
so
leave.
Like, well, here's the thing. I kind of started a war with the Orion.
I kind of fought the battleship of the Emerald Chain. Didn't
on the
kill
bright
him.
Side, we have a new acting ensign. On the bright side. So, kind
but
of
on the good note,
there, you know?
Book decided to join our crew.
We have a new Federation planet, I think, and then a new Federation
I mean,
member. So,
it increases our ranks 50-fold. You know, 50 people.
Yeah. But,
we have one dude and a bunch of glow sticks.
I mean, we can't put anything on this planet. It's a protected sanctuary, but at least they're willing to put the banner out front. So good job, team.
And
go
yeah,
team.
We now have the ability to control animals. Is that a
I
thing
mean, granted,
that we need?
We also can't visit them for
wait,
like
is,
a month
is Book
if
like
it's
the,
any other ship.
Is Book like the Aquaman of this crew?
Oh,
like, I just don't feel like the abilities would come up that much.
Hold on, I can talk to these ants. See what's going on.
So now we just need Book and Michael are sitting back in their ship and they're going, ants.
Wait a minute. If Book has this ability, he's definitely talked to his cat before.
Oh, yeah. I think yes.
Right? He must have talked to his cat. Okay.
I mean, I think literally the last time we went into when Michael was sad and she did her taking the badge off moment, she walked into the ship and he's sitting there with Grudge and his forehead's glowing.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that part. Okay.
Well, he's either sitting with Grudge or he's reading something, but he had his forehead glowing. And then when she stepped up, it
I do remember that. I don't remember the cat being there.
Right.
It might have been. I can't remember.
We didn't see the scene, but it must have happened before this episode where when Book left, he said, Grudge, you have the con. So in this part, when they were attacking, so Grudge was technically the captain of that
in
vessel.
Command.
Yes. And so
she gets the spoils.
Ah, what is
or that would have been funny if, like, at the end or during the battle and they're not quite sure what to do, she's like, just fly forward. You is like, what is a cat talks? Oh, my gosh.
Well, I did have okay, just having in the Star Wars mindset where the Andorian's like, you just have to shoot. I'm like, is this a Death Star? Like, what's going on here?
Da 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 da. Pew, pew.
Well, she was
use
using
the force.
I know.
Or Detmer.
Well, that's why she went to manual control. Don't use the computer, Detmer.
Yeah. Let go, Detmer.
Let go of your fear.
Use your instincts.
Yeah. But yeah, again, I don't know. I like this episode. I mean, like I said, I'm not saying the best thing in the world, but you know, it was a sit back and. Let it wash
it's
over
interesting because again in a season of like 13 episodes, like you don't really have time to beat around the bush. Like you got to move that plot along. Mm-hmm. We're not going to solve the burn overnight, guys. We got to figure it out. But
well, apparently, yeah, so we have a source for the burn, which I guess would be our two part of this coming up.
Oh, that's true. Well, and they well but they call it terra firma.
Yeah, but you know, that's...
but isn't that Earth?
Well, yeah, but
I mean, but we'll see. And I think we get Cronenberg again. Oh, we get like season one Star Trek Next Generation guy in some sort of hologram.
We'll see what that is about.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I mean, he's obviously just a hologram for a moment or something.
All right, well, let's just do final thoughts here on The Sanctuary. any moments we didn't talk about or anything stood out in your mind, Daniel, from this episode or where we're going when we have, what is it, three
no,
or four
I,
episodes left?
Yeah, I don't know. Four. It's weird. We have talked a lot about in Discovery.
Five
about,
episodes left.
Goodness, that's a lot.
Terra Firma 1 and 2, The Citadel, The Good of the People, and Outside.
Don't get too excited about The Citadel, Daniel.
Oh man, that yeah. Yes, you know, we've talked a lot about Discovery, about serialization versus episodic in nature, and I've always said, you know, I hope that they do more episodic stuff. But like, good episodic Star Trek has a point and like a moral or some sort of a, like, mission, or it just feels like this was just spinning wheels for no reason. Mm-hmm. So I was just kind of bored by it, because nothing moved forward and nothing happened really. And then it looks like next week is going to be all about Georgiou, so I'm already checked out of that. you know, it's fine, but it was just, you know. Like we've talked about before, Discovery didn't. It's not like you're going to go back and like, oh, this is my favorite episode of Discovery. Or
yeah, I don't feel like I need to go back to this episode to like refresh anything.
I will never remember the name, the Sanctuary. I'll just remember the blue things that float around. Probably that's about it. So,
although, can we get a nice like cliffhanger at the end of Terra Firma Part One? Like that'd be nice.
What about you, Darren? Any? I mean, we haven't talked about. Orion, bad lady, but I don't know.
I mean, she's there, and she wasn't sitting on like an awesome throne or anything, so that was kind of disappointing.
Which I thought was a little much, but
true.
That's me.
With the transworm, which is kind of intense, but, and again, that's where I'm like, Booker could get to that place where he was imprisoned, but also this ship can get from that place to this planet. So how far is anything from anything that we need to? You keep using the spore drive, like it's not making sense. But
do you remember when Michael was eaten by one of those worms and she was okay?
Oh, because it liked her and she had plot
it
armor.
Liked
but,
her. I don't remember that part.
You'll spoil the milk.
But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting what we do in the next few episodes. And yeah, and what are we going to set up for season four? I'm glad it feels pretty firmly that we're not at all trying to get back to the past, which I'm glad. I don't want that. But they haven't even, like, I think once they said, oh, yeah, we had a time war and we can't do time travel anymore. All travel has been outlawed. It's like, okay, good. No, don't need that. And they're like, wait, I just looked up, if we slingshot around the sun, we can.
Yeah, that's one thing. I don't know. It's not the biggest deal.
Is that easy?
Yeah. I was just going to say, I did notice also that when they jumped, right before they jump, the nacelles dock, and then they spore jump, and then they detach as soon as they get there, which is kind of cool. Nice little touch.
I don't think the crew, I know we had the episode where they said they dealt with it, but I don't think the crew has really dealt with what is their life. Like, because it's not like, they're not, even our Starfleet shows, you know, or Star Trek shows, like Starfleet members, but like they're not on the ship for until they die. You know, like there's, you know, you have a purpose in your life, you have family, and they don't have that. But like, what do they do now? Like, I'm just going to stay in Discovery till I die for the next, you know, 50, 100 years. Like, you know, what's their, I don't think anyone has sort of thought what's grounding them. What do they do on their day off? You know, what do you.
Well, is it rebuilding the Federation? Is that their goal as a group? Well, I don't know.
But even as individuals, I mean, like, you don't stay in Starfleet forever. You know, you.
Well, that one lady already left.
That's true. Are we going to just do this one by one?
Yeah. Oh, Non?
Non. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I mean, that's a little different. That was like reconnecting to her people that she hasn't seen in decades, but.
Because almost, it reminds me of.
I know. I got this. I'd be surprised if Saru is not like, okay, Admiral, we need to go visit Kabinar just for reasons. Like, I haven't been back in a couple millennia, so.
I'm surprised.
Because, you know, he's chomping at the bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, well, we'll see. There's a lot more to go here. Well, Darren, if folks want to talk to you about how you keep track of your sea locust, where can they find you? I think there's just add water, and then you. I don't know.
Just, you know, if you add water, you spoil the milk. It's really bad. They can find me on Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi.
And Daniel, if folks want to talk to you about the latest model of sickbay suits, where can they find you?
They can find me at one of Dan on Twitter. That's the number one, not the word.
And if folks want to learn how XO is just another word for personal assistant, they can find me on Twitter at NC Public Servant.
Don't you mean life coach?
She was just going through a schedule. You know. Well, until next week, I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
I'm Darren Moser.
Stranded here on City Alpha 3.